Welcome to Radio Contra, the podcast of AmericanPartisan.org, and hosted by me, the Commandante of the Mossy Oak Militia, and that is all of you out there making great things happen out in the real world. And what an interesting world it is that we live in. Coming off of the podcast last night, breaking down some of the events in Ukraine, going a little deeper into the bioweapons labs, which was being masqueraded under this program of the Biological Threat Reduction Program, so to speak, that was being run rather openly, by the way, by the U.S. Embassy in Kiev. That is Kiev, not Kiev. We don't speak news speak around here. We are only telling you the straight facts. And this is something that is developing, but we've got a lot of other issues that are developing that are going to be on the docket. We're going to be covering this in detail tonight. Of course, our show sponsors, great, wonderful show sponsors out there, civildefensemanual.com. Definitely get that two-volume set covering in depth and in detail how to stand up every aspect of a community preparedness team, a mutual assistance group. The communications chapter was written by yours truly and written from the perspective of getting yourself squared away from the ground up, taking somebody who is an absolute noob, doesn't know anything about anything, and even suggests a bunch of equipment that I would utilize in a tactical environment with brand new people who really don't know what they don't know, keeping everything simple, bottom line, bottom dollar. All stuff that you can afford. Two-volume set, civildefensemanual.com. Of course, my friends over at Blacksmith Publishing. What an incredible team over there at Blacksmith Publishing. Of course, Paul Lefevre and Mike Blackburn, Special Forces legends, former instructors at the U.S. Army Special Forces Qualification Course, Small Unit Tactics Course, which is really needing no introduction of its own, but they condense their knowledge and the course curriculum into a handbook that is required reading in that course now. And of course, it is available to all of you with links down below. And they've got a heck of a lot of other great titles as well. Blacksmith Publishing, definitely check out everything that they've got. Of course, last but not least, my very good friend Joe Dolio over at Tactical Wisdom. Check out his 3-volume set and go check out everything that he puts out on his blog. He is a regular writer and contributor over there. He is a frequent guest here on Radio Contra, and he is going to be in class up in Michigan. Of course, the week-long RTO, Advanced RTO, and Signals Intelligence course, it's going to be held up in Michigan in May. If you check the training calendar on brushbeater.org, that's brushbeater.org/training calendar, you're going to see that event and details for it, along with a lot of other awesome dates that I have on the calendar that are going to round out this year in training. If you are not out actively training and getting every opportunity that you can to make yourself better for tomorrow than you were yesterday, then you're wrong. You're 100% wrong. Anyhow, with that said, joining me tonight for this podcast is my very good friend, Mech Medic. What's up, brother?
What's good, man?
Great time to be alive. And of course, I also have intelligence operative extraordinaire signals intelligence man himself, and we're going to be breaking down a whole lot of what we are seeing coming out of Ukraine as well as China. Madman Actual, what's up, brother?
Same old, same old. Just screwing my head back on from the news this past week.
And what a week it has been. What a week it has been. Diving right into it, man. You know, we've had podcasts in the past. We've broke down signals intelligence as it applies to the battlefield and real-time stuff, you know, experience that you've obviously had both with the green suitor side and the intelligence community side of all of this. We know now a lot of what we've been told about the goings-on in Ukraine and a lot of the whipping up of the American populace, particularly the American populace, in support of Zelensky, a man who, by the way, if you need to look this up, this guy who is the comedian in chief of Ukraine, he is the person, the sock puppet that the United States installed after a color revolution, the Euromaidan color revolution, which led to the civil war in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions, which did not recognize his authority. This guy, there's a video of him literally playing a piano on a stage. It is implied that he's playing the piano on the stage with his dick. You can't make this up. You can't make, and presidential material right there. But the level of propaganda coming out of this, and, you know, you broke this down early on. You said, you know, it's really hard to decipher the truth in all of this because the level of propaganda, which is something that you know, you're a subject matter expert on this, was really something to behold. And now what we're seeing, you know, the ghost of Kiev, that's been debunked. You know, that was garbage. The initial invasion, there are spectators on both sides that are saying the Russians lost approximately 500 troops. The number isn't quite exact just yet, but it was right around 500 troops. Personally, I think that number was probably a little bit higher than that. But that the armored vehicles that they lost initially, it was being reported that they lost a huge number. That Javelin is such an insurmountable battlefield tool, and now it's coming out that maybe that's not quite so. Break down for us how you see it, what you've been seeing on your end, and kind of your analysis from this angle.
Well, I'm just going off of what everybody else is seeing, just YouTube, Twitter. Those are the main ones because that's where everybody posts stuff. But yeah, I figured that initial armor destruction number was probably not accurate. That didn't seem right, at least. And yeah, from the start, I was just, you know, I messaged Johnny Paratrooper and I was like, hey man, you know, I've seen like 8 videos from four different airports that are on fire. And it's the same giant black plume of smoke from like a bunch of different angles. I was like, I'm wondering if they're not hitting all these airports. So I was watching, I knew if, you know, when Russia goes in, because I thought about it, you know, I had my doubts at first, but then I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, you don't really put 100,000 troops on somebody's border to mess with them. Like, you know, if you're going to put that many troops around and keep them around, you're probably actually going to use them. So I figured the propaganda machine would be like full force, which it has been, because I've caught a couple of them and I called them out on Twitter. It was the woman with the bloody face that like went everywhere.
Yeah.
The same woman that has the AK in her hand that's crouched down in a van when they're talking about handing out weapons to civilians and all.
She lit herself on fire. By the way, there's a video clip. She lit herself on fire, throwing a Molotov at a vehicle that was being towed. And the whole thing, this video, I caught it in one of the more seedy corners of the internet, but it was definitely her, the blonde chick with the skull cap on, kind of getting her Tim Pool look on. And she definitely threw a Molotov at looked like a BTR 80, but it's real grainy when they're passing by because it's somebody shooting it with a GoPro, and she throws this thing and lights herself on fire in the process. You're like, oh man, nice.
I saw that video. That was gold because like half the car that they were in got caught on fire from it.
Oh, you saw it too.
It's so, so good.
I haven't so seen that one, man.
How that was your first problem?
How not to be an urban gorilla, you know? First of all, don't use gasoline. It's probably a bad idea. Just saying, diesel fuel, probably a better idea. You know, seals.
Yeah, it's a little less explosive.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I've had one or two thrown at me. I've had one or two thrown at me at one point in time, in my early 20s, when a pastor in Florida decided to burn a Quran or something to that effect. And yeah, some people in a certain part of the world were a little ticked off about that, you know. So,
yeah, things that really did piss them off.
Yeah, a little bit. But one of the big propaganda things that has come out, though, you know, and you nailed it. The airfields got popped pretty quickly. One thing that
which does make sense.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it would make sense that they would hit the air. I mean, it is the Russian military. They're not idiots. You know, they're going to hit the airports first. It was just the videos I was seeing. I was like, this looks like the same fire, but it's being claimed to be like all the airports around the whole country.
Right. Well, what it's looking like they did was they actually hit the airfields to disable them, knowing that the Ukrainians aren't going to be able to divert the resources on the fly. And that negates their air, any sort of chance at air control other than rotary wing. Cause you know, as we all know, rotary wing can pretty much land anywhere. They don't need a dedicated runway, but when you devastate a runway, nothing's landing or taking off on that. Like that's pretty much it. So you pretty much at that point, you've grounded the Ukrainian Air Force, which is, you know, warfare 101, you know, and that's why now Zelensky is going to the European Union and begging for a no-fly zone, which thankfully, one thing that I can credit Brandon for is not pushing the boundary any further than they've already messed up. Because this is horribly mismanaged, this whole thing. You know, that's both a statement of my opinion on this as well as fact. This is just, if you're going to fight a proxy war, this damn sure isn't how you do it. And there's some other things that I want to point out, though. So early on, and of course I was teaching, so I was kind of getting these reports as it was popping up on social media platforms and whatnot. All of these vehicles, right? So there was all this footage. It was hitting the usual OSINT outlets, Facebook, the Gab, Twitter, right? Getter, all of the platforms, right? It's hitting all these, you know, burned up BTR 70s, BTR 80s, BRDMs, T-72s, T-80s, right? All of these are burned up. And one thing that I noticed on each of these is that there was a Z marked on the vehicle. So you had all these like, I guess the equivalent to the Humvee, whatever they're calling that. And I also noticed that there was a lot of really old equipment. So, like I told the guys in class, man, is that I'm going to have to break this down. I'm going to have to actually look at this and start to piece together the puzzle. And something stood out to me is that a lot of these vehicles had very hasty markings painted on them. And it didn't, they weren't dress right dress. They weren't uniform. It did not look like a professional military would have done this. So started digging a little bit deeper into what the Z marking is. Now, I don't know what the Z itself, what the significance is, whether that's in Cyrillic or what that stands for, but it's coming out now and I can't 100% confirm this just yet, but it is, there's more than one, there's more than one source in the region that is reporting this. And this is also coming from Ukrainian outlets, by the way. This isn't just one-sided Russian disinformatia, right? This is coming from the Ukrainian side as well, is that many of those vehicles, the reason that they were looking old and that they were aged and whatnot, but they had Z markings on them, was because these were Ukrop vehicles or the armed forces of Ukraine. These vehicles had been abandoned and a lot of them were blown up as or disabled in one way or another as a temporary blocking maneuver. So they would have to pull these vehicles out of the way, basically channeling or attempting to channel the Russian forces into choke points to where they could use the javelins. And in some cases, they were hitting their own vehicles with the javelins. So all those reports that we were seeing that were coming from Fox News of, you know, Fox News has been 100% full of shit from top to bottom. Since I've been watching this, I cut all of that off. I just cut it all off. But the what it's looking like is they were using their own armor that they knew didn't have reactive armor. And this was something that Johnny pointed out, too. We were talking offline. So he said, why don't the tanks have the reactive armor on them? Why don't they look modern? I mean, their conscripts are, you know, if Russia's pushing their conscripts up first, then OK, that makes sense. Now it's beginning to make a lot more sense. And those Z markings on them were Ukrop vehicles that were getting hit to try and create hasty blocking positions to where they could target the Russian forces as they were coming in a little bit better. Doesn't look like it worked too well. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the whole thing. The Z thing was weird. And yeah, Johnny, he pointed that out to me as well. He was like, yeah, why don't, like, these guys, like, I don't see any guys riding on the side or the tops of these armored vehicles, which they normally do. Which I do remember seeing when they invaded Georgia. I remember seeing Russians on top of their armored vehicles.
Oh, yeah, man, that's Gopnik style right there.
Yeah, and I know for a fact that Russian tanks that are actually being used have reactive armor. That's like their go-to to put on tanks and any kind of armored vehicle they could fit it on. And yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah, I think the Ukrainians were blowing up their own stuff, and then I guess they were, yeah, running up and putting Z's on it for the cameras. That's what it sounds like they were doing. Or they were just blowing everything up. You know?
That's what it's looking like.
I was watching the S2 Underground. He was doing an update, I think, from a couple days ago, talking about what all the numbers or the letters and stuff, all the writing was like to designate like where those vehicles, like their staging points, basically. So it might have been like a logistics thing as they're running across, like, Russia, like, hey, make sure that this load of vehicles with the Z ends up going towards the Eastern Front into Ukraine. And then it had like for the different letters and stuff. They were like, one of them was, I think the V was the units that were coming in through Belarus and shit, and all the different stuff was kind of like, you could see where they were based on like the letters that they had were all grouped in certain locations. So other than like a logistics thing, I can't really like see why. Well, other than like IFF, because a lot of like the Ukrainian and Russian equipment is similar.
That's what
it's the same.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of like, yeah, they're all using stuff, the same.
So it's a quick, easy way to IFF them is to throw some letters on there. Which I mean, like, well, it's definitely a hasty IFF, but I mean,
you're exactly right. Both of you are. To add another layer to this, the UCROP paint scheme, in order to differentiate them from the Russian vehicles, they use a pixelated paint pattern. And this is very, very apparent on a lot of the footage that is coming out now. Now, admittedly, a lot of these are Russian sources because they are doing SSE on these vehicles, or sensitive site exploitations. Basically, you know, kind of their rear echelon units are coming in and examining stuff for, you know, a litany of different reasons. But what's being shown is a lot of these vehicles have that pixelated pattern that is indicative of Ukrainian forces versus the Russian forces. This is something that I noticed it early on, but I just kind of dismissed it as the Russians are real well known for having about a billion different camo patterns, whether that's their uniforms or, I mean, I'm serious, man. The Ruskies have a crap load of different, like they're running around, these fools wearing, they've got their rain pattern. They've got multicam. They've got, you know, ATAX. They've got guys that are running around in ATAX as well. So it's just like, you know, but their armor is like that too. They have a lot of different stuff, but the Ukrainians were pretty much uniform in that. And some of the other sources that I was looking that are kind of coming from the front lines out there, especially around Kiev, they're all saying the same thing now, which is, you know, when you're getting the story intersects from both sides, that's probably fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, bombshell. Fixing to drop a bombshell. So, of course, I have a lot of contacts in various areas, you know, doing what I do. I get to meet a lot of really interesting and cool people. And the rumor is, it's a very good rumor, coming from someone who is in a position to know, that we, meaning the United States, only armed the Azov battalion with Javelins, that the Javelin missiles and the Clue system themselves to go with each of them to the tune of $150,000 per system only went to the Azov battalion, which is the Nationalist Party of Ukraine. These guys are the militant arm of the ruling political party, of which Zelensky is the head. Zelensky, by the way, this was pointed out by former Congress lady Tulsi Gabbard, that in their last election, which they had just a couple of years ago, the runner up in the election, which there was a lot of widespread allegations of fraud. Of course, this doesn't sound familiar, does it, to anybody out there? He jailed his political opponent just after the election. You can fact check it. He absolutely did. And basically was handing out death threats to anybody that was going to challenge his authority. So the pianist himself, pianist. I'm gonna start calling this guy the pianist.
The penis. The penis pianist.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
And he's quite talented. Owes much to the famous film by Adrian Brody. But the pianist, the great pianist. But he He did that. He absolutely did that. And that's a regime that we supported. We armed these guys with javelins. And it is alleged that the reason that we did this, and this is a quote, is because the United States' assessment of the UKROP forces at the time was that they had too many Russian sympathizers in the ranks. Azov was the only ones that they could trust because these are the hyper-nationalist guys that are going to support U.S. interests as well as those of the host nation, quote unquote. So we armed these guys. We didn't arm the Ukrainian military. We armed Azov alone. Very, very interesting. What say you?
Well, that sounds just like what we did in Afghanistan when we actually started like getting direct control over like the money and equipment that we were sending in instead of just like trusting it to the ISI and the Pakistanis. When we started like pushing shit ourselves, we like got like real particular over who we gave money and arms to. That sounds like nothing new for the CIA.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've seen this movie before. Like
I saw this episode of MacGyver.
Yeah, I've seen this one a thousand times.
Burn Notice. It was totally so, Burn Notice.
Mm-hmm.
So we only gave it to the Azov battalion. That's feet those, and to just to confirm, I know what I'm talking about. Those are the guys that were photographed with the Nazi flag, yes. Right? And the UN flag for whatever reason. That was kind of strange combo. I guess that was like a troll. That's what I figured it was when I first saw that picture. I was like, oh, these guys are just trolling like a son of a bitch. They got the UN flag. They got the Ukrainian flag. They got the Nazi flag. I was like, I'm just waiting for like a no step on snack thing to show up. You know, just complete the look.
Like how can we roll everything in like all the memes into one? How can we do this all into one?
That's kind of what I thought it was. I was like, oh, they're just memeing us.
I mean, even on their flag, it looks like there's those definitely look like S's in a very distinct pattern that got a couple of scout snipers in trouble.
Yeah, they weren't happy about that.
Just on the Azov battalion flag is very distinct looking S's.
Yeah. I'm looking at that now.
Yeah, we armed them, no doubt about it. And with the javelin systems that we sent over there, which are highly effective, by the way. They work quite well. No doubt about that, but we armed them because they're political loyalists and they're going to be working in our interest. Very interesting.
I'm guessing this is like, is this our way of like maintaining our color revolution from 2014? I guess that's like the angle that we're giving these guys weapons.
Without a doubt,
we started. You know, we started in 2014. If these guys are going to support Zelensky, which I find it weird that they used a comedian as like their figurehead, but we live in clown world, so nothing makes sense, and it's all made up. Yeah. Hey, you know what that stands for? You can't say that.
I mean, we're already talking about neo-Nazis anyway, so
that's true.
Well. I find it ironic, man. It's the whole thing's a bait and switch. You know, the whole thing's a bait and switch. You know, we're not hearing any more about the Freedom Convoy. We're not hearing any more about the convoy in Canada. It all of a sudden vanished. We don't want to talk about that. We've got all of the neocon neoliberals out there that either you stand with us or you stand with Ukraine or you stand for Russia. Right? They're all saying that. It's literally what they're saying. You've got all the people in the comments, you know, I came up during the Cold War and them Ruskies are still communists.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, this is not, you see, and this is the thing, man. When I'm pushed into a corner of a dichotomy of thought where you're either given this or that, It just smells a little fishy to me. When we're not, there is no independent analysis going on. And further to all those who think like that I just so mockingly and purposefully mocked with great jocularity, but I'm dead serious here. If you're stuck into that paradigm of thought, okay, the Russians have absolutely outmaneuvered us with Belt and Road. China, which we're fixing to talk about, what moves are being made in China right now as we speak. But they've outmaneuvered us on all of that, and they're thinking in a highly long-term strategy here that they have. Do not fall into the trap, the neocon, neoliberal trap, because it's all part of the same thing, right? It's two sides of the same coin, of thinking that we're even playing the same game as them, because we're absolutely not. And I want to remind everybody that's listening to this, American Partisan, myself, we've been covering the goings-on in South America literally since the very beginning of the website, and I've been talking about this. It wasn't that long ago that I did a podcast. It was titled The Coming Red Dawn in America, where I laid out the case for exactly what Russia is doing south of our border. And I'll be damned, our government didn't do a damn thing about it. Not one single thing. Not one single thing you heard in that worthless State of the Union address last night, where a hideous dementia patient stood up there. Well, actually, we had three dementia patients standing up there. Of course, you had the vice president who was having a whisper in his ear, right? And then you had the Speaker of the House sitting there rubbing her hands, her knuckles together. What the hell was that all about? What are these people doing? What are these people doing? You know, and we're being completely outmaneuvered, and yet we have the audacity to go to the front doorstep of adversaries. We had somebody in a comment section over American Partisan just the other day said, well, we got to fight them over there, or we'll have to fight them over here. We're already having to fight them over here. You better wake the fuck up. You better wake the fuck up. They're already here, and you didn't do a damn thing about it. You didn't do a damn thing about it, Dan. They're already here. What do you think their next move is going to be? You know, you pull your forces in, you secure your borders, and you prepare yourself to repel the next attack that's coming to our shores, and it's already here. So I don't want to hear anything else about, oh, we got to fight them over there. While we're arming literal Nazis who are riding around right now, there's a lot of footage just coming out, Azov Battalion, and these criminals that Zelensky, a sock puppet, the pianist, has released prisoners, armed them. These people are criminal psychopaths that came up under the boot of late generation Sovietism, right? These people are really messed up. A lot of kids that have come over from Ukraine that were being adopted, they're showing a lot of signs of psychiatric disorders because they were literally left in cribs, not interacted with at all, and it messed them up from early childhood development. Look that stuff up. Look it up. It's a thing. And so now you've got those people who were misfits already in a messed up society, and you just armed them. They're running around killing civilians. There's a lot of footage of this coming out. I don't want to hear about any of this other stuff, especially when the Russian army has come in, because they were provoked. They came in, and they're actually not, it does, at least by my estimation, they're not really attacking that many targets. Have you heard yet of a hospital getting hit? Because you damn sure did in Baghdad in 2003, more than one. So, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm at a loss here. I'm not a guy who prays for war over here, especially when we're taking it to everybody else. Bullshit. We don't have our own home straightened out. So anyway, it's something that is absolutely blowing my mind, seeing some of this crap come from both sides. And then we turn around and we see what's coming out of Ukraine. These are absolute, it's absolute insanity. We've armed criminals. These people are shooting civilians in the streets, and it's Azov that's doing it. There's a lot of footage that is coming out. If you're adept enough to go and look for it, you will find it. I'm not going to link to any of that stuff because I'm not into that kind of thing, but it's there. anyway.
Amen. You hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah, I get angry.
So.
It comes out.
Fucking,
man.
It's a stupid situation that we're in. It's fucking blood boiling.
Both sides are shitty. I don't think there's really like a good, like, I cannot support Ukraine and like not support Russia. Like, there's another two countries fighting that have been fighting for quite a long time that I don't really fucking support either one of them. But anytime you talk bad about the one, you must be supporting the other. And it's fucking infuriating.
Why? I mean, why? And why is that? Why is that? Why is it that the subreddit volunteers for Ukraine, if you look at all the volunteers coming from there, they're all coming from fucking Portland and Seattle, man.
Wait, where else Seattle did we go to? Man, I'm thinking of another time all those people got together to train in a foreign country. This is weird.
8 years ago. About,
that's weird.
Between 8 years to a decade ago. I think it really started in 2012 in Rozava. The academy, the guerrilla camp. Yeah.
That's weird.
Antifa 1.0 came to our shores. Antifa 2.0 will be here as well. How noble. How noble.
Mm-hmm.
Heroes, all of them. Oh, man. Good stuff. Real, real good stuff. So kind of touched on State of the Union. Didn't watch it. Watched a couple clips. The Dementia Patient in Chief, Brandon, boy, he really sounded tough. Did you know Iranians and Ukrainians are the same? Did y'all know that?
I did see that clip.
Iranians.
Iranians and Ukrainians, they are the same. And our vice president, Kamala Harris is our wonderful vice president, had to whisper in his ear, Ukrainians. You can clearly see it. If you see the footage of this, you can clearly see it. She is sounding out, it's Ukrainians in his ear. And this is the man, this is the team that is at the helm of the mighty ship USS America. Wow.
Yes.
Peak clown world. It's peak.
Good times.
100%. Yeah, I didn't watch any of the State of the Union. I only saw that one clip where he said the Iranians thing. And I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't watch the whole thing, because I'd probably be needing a new TV. I would have shot mine or something. I don't know.
I'm telling you, man, my patience is getting shorter and shorter. And I mean, I'm not an old person, so I'm definitely not an old man. Yeah, but my patience, like my fuse with stuff is significantly shorter than it used to be. Like, somebody posted up something the other day. It was like, hey, you ought to watch the Jocko Willink thing. If he was president, what he would do. And I'm just like, well, he's not the president, so I don't care. Like, he's not the president. He's not going to be the president. So why? Like, I don't care. I could make a podcast where it's an hour of me telling you what I would do if I was president. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't amount to anything. So, I ain't got time for that shit.
I'd just like to say on the Jocko topic, Jocko, if you hear this, your drink sucks and you need to make the flavors taste better. I'm sorry.
He is absolutely not a supporter of this podcast. Hey, Jocko, brother, I think you're cool. I think you're a cool dude. You've done a lot of great stuff for the community, man. I like him.
I bought a drink with his name on it, and it kind of reminded me of drinking my own piss.
Oh, well, see, maybe it was.
It was bad. It was that bad.
Maybe it was drinking.
That's a thing. People pay for bath water.
Well, there was that girl who was farting in a can and selling it.
Making millions.
Like, she had a TV show. Oh, she had a TV show that she was on. and she literally farts in a can and sells it. Like, I mean, I...
And people say that this is the worst country ever.
I
don't understand. You can fart into a can and make $1 million.
It's the greatest country in the world. I mean, only in America can you fart in a can and make $1 million.
I mean,
I love unrestricted freedom. It's the best.
Like, you got different brands on there. You're like, man, that was chili and onions night right there. Like, this was after a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon and some Jack in the Box, man. This is especially bad. Like, oh, there might be a little afterbirth in there. You know? It's a little squirty. Oh, man. But on a serious note, Sons of Liberty is tomorrow night, not tonight.
Yes.
Oh, right.
You got to have a little humor in all of it, man. But now, nah, all seriousness, like, your fuse starts to get shorter about stuff. You know, you just... Like, people will be like, hey, did you see this video of so-and-so saying such-and-such? And I'm like, I barely have time to take a shit in the middle of the day. Like, I don't have time to watch this crap. Like, I literally don't. You know, right now, I've been trying to stay on top of, like, what's actually happening in Ukraine. Because I don't believe not a single word of anything we've been told. And they've completely cut off RT America from everything. Weird. Like, that's completely gone. You know, like you can't even get another side of the story here, which is probably also really important to be checking AmericanPartisan.org every day, because we've got all those headlines that are coming up from around the world, domestic news, alternative news, as well as international news from the horse's mouth in the international sources. So wherever the truth is, it's probably some intersection therein, but it is all the headlines. And of course, you can click on those and it'll take you to the host pages. They are updated automatically based on the RSS feeds. So definitely be checking those headlines in the sidebar, whether it's mobile devices or on a conventional laptop. However you look at websites, it's up there. So anyway, moving on down the list, China. So some of the recent events, past few hours, some open source reporting coming out of China. This is being shared on at least one news outlet out there. UK Daily Mail is reporting this as well. There is widespread internet blackouts across Taiwan right now. It is being inferred that there is the possibility that this is preparation of a battlefield for an amphibious landing, combined arms maneuver onto the island itself. It very well may be. Having some people in class who are familiar with the environment over there told me specifically that no amphibious assault could occur until at least March. And of course, this was back in, I think, last September, late September, early October time frame. They said that there was no chance there was going to be an invasion on Taiwan. This person did absolutely believe one would happen, though, but that it would not occur until March. Here it is. It is to March 2022, and the currents in that region of the world are looking a little bit more favorable. What do you guys make of this?
That's interesting for sure. I'm looking it up right now. You know, they could be figuring out. So it's just internet blackouts. And yeah, so if it's just the internet blackout, then they might be trying to figure out where radios are, or at least radio operators are. Trying to find out some other backup communications infrastructure. So, or, I mean, it could just be a blackout. Who knows? It's, I mean, obviously it's weird timing. I'd say battle
station prep. Not just the internet blackout.
Power.
Now it is power blackouts. Power as well. This is. This is coming from MSN.com/Asia. So, you know, I sent a reliable source, but, you know, at the same time, pretty interesting. And right now, the power blackout coinciding with internet blackout in Taiwan and operable within the region. And I'm not finding anything whether or not those that have been taken offline at the Xingda power plant has caused disconnection of the southern system. Sounds a little bit like sabotage.
That's what I was reading through something saying that it was an equipment failure, which sounds like a really polite way to say that someone fucked with our shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the vague.
Batman, what say you?
Use all the time. Yeah, I mean, if they're saying it's a equipment failure, it's like, all right, you know, that's just like they throw that out there just as like the catch-all excuse of what's going on.
It was a dreadful accident. Nothing more to see here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, man, I don't know. I really haven't. I can't say one way or another. But it is interesting timing, and I think the word is out that the U.S. is not going to use our military anymore. So if they are going to take Taiwan, which the Taiwan thing, I understand why China would want it, because that's like a historical thing for them, as well as the chip manufacturing. But at the end of the day with the chip manufacturing, somebody could just drop a bomb on that thing and just be like, all right, well, now nobody gets chips, you know, like now you pissed in everybody's soup. Way to go, China. So that's, I understand the historical precedent that China would want to take Taiwan because they think it's theirs. And they are very headstrong about that kind of stuff. Like that's part of their culture, is to like restore China to its former glory. You know, and it wouldn't surprise me if they went in. I can tell you that much.
It's prime opportunity, man. I mean, it's now or never. And I think, to your point about the chip manufacturing, I think China knows, I mean, from a pragmatic standpoint, because it's how I look at it too, why blow the factory up when you can take it over and have that manufacturing capability? It's yours now. Rather than destroy it, you now cornered the market for chip manufacturing, and something that a lot of people aren't talking about right now to go right along with that is the rare earth elements. So, you know, that market absolutely plays a role, and that's something nobody's talking about right now. Absolutely nobody's talking about.
In regards to Taiwan?
Yeah. That's the reason that Taiwan, part of the reason that Taiwan is a hub for microchip manufacturing is the rare earth elements. They don't have to transport them very far because a lot of those are mined in Korea. Korea is the whole Korean peninsula is rich in rare earth elements. It's said that North Korea is probably the wealthiest nation in the world with regard to those minerals. I don't know if that's true, because, again, that is something that's not really my forte of expertise. But that's a big part of the reason. That and cheap labor.
Yeah, the cheap labor part, I think, has the most to do with it. Yeah. Well, I'm reading here, too. Taiwan leader warns against turning a blind eye to aggression. Yeah, this is kind of how the Russia thing started.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, Russia's got troops on the border. Hey, Putin.
No big deal.
Putin just recognized independence for these two territories, and then literally the next day, invaded. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, when you start seeing headlines. Yeah, when you start seeing headlines about, like, warnings and, hey, you know, China, well, the Chinese airspace incursion, that's like, that happens every month. Like, that in itself wasn't anything new. I know everybody was, like, freaking out about it for a second, but I was like, man, it's hard to, like, it's hard to base your position whether somebody's going to invade if they do something that they've been doing for over a year now.
Yeah.
So, but if Taiwan's warning, or if their leader, whatever that means, if there's some headlines about it, yeah, I'd say China might be making a move on Taiwan. I'm more worried about China going into Africa, though. But I don't think they have the sustainability for that or not. It's hard to say on that one.
It's more immunity to the viruses. That was the whole point behind the gene editing programs. Gene editing the baby or babies.
Right.
I forget his name, but he was a scientist that was the project lead for that and did their equivalent of a TED Talk, and then he disappeared. Right after that, like, you know, you let the cat out of the bag. Right. We didn't want people to know that we're gene editing kids over here. but absolutely did, man. And, you know, just this is bad news all around. But they're doing that. They're doing that for their aims of neocolonialism. And I don't think that they can sustain operations in Africa, they definitely have the groundwork.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of ports built along the western side of Africa. You know, Kenya signed on to the Belt and Road. They got all kinds of stuff getting built by China there. Oh, Lord, what was the other one?
Ghana, Tanzania, Nigeria, Central African Republic. Central African Republic has a giant African Chinese flag, rather, in the center. So I've never been there. I do have a friend who has been there. He was doing some contract work, and he was doing close protection details there and anti-kidnapping and all that jazz, because all that stuff goes on. And he told me, he said, there's a giant, like, huge, you cannot miss it from, I forget the name of the valley, but you're going into it, this giant Chinese flag flying there. And he said that they put that in the Central African Republic. And he said they, like, the everybody in this town, they have a huge number of Chinese nationals there that are all just ridiculously wealthy. And he said that they'll all tell you that China plans to own the entire African continent. Like, it's mm-hmm. going to happen. It's all part of Chinese New Century.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely going to take that bad boy over.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think they're doing the same thing to Africa that they are with us. Like, you know, they're just
flooding.
They don't have to use their military. They're just using their people, and they're just sending them all over the globe.
Yeah. Gray zone warfare, man. Yeah. That's the contemporary term for it, is gray zone warfare. We saw this between Poland and Belarus. We're kind of still seeing it between Poland and Belarus. That's where these kind of ridiculous stories, they're kind of silly, but they've been bubbling up and then kind of going away. It's funny. It's like whack-a-mole. These stories will pop up, but they don't really fit the narrative, so they're going away, because the narrative right now is, Poland is a NATO ally, but at the same time, Poland is being fiercely national. They closed their borders. They're not like any of the other European Union nations, NATO nations, where they're like, oh, we're going to take in all these immigrants with open arms. Like, Poland's like, yeah, nah, we're not doing that. So it's not really fitting the narrative. But the stories are popping up. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, people are complaining online that Poland is taking Ukrainian refugees, but not like, they specifically had like fence posts up to keep like the non-white refugees in. And it's like, because they share a lot of things in common with the Ukrainians, namely like a religion and not raping children.
Yeah. It's funny how that works.
It's weird.
Like, they won't take in the Syrian refugees. Like, well, why are the Syrian refugees there? The war in Syria is over. Like, why are they there? They can go back home. go back home. The war's over. You're good. Go back home.
American, you don't understand. We need to rape your women and make more babies for us.
Yeah, right. It's that whole population replacement thing is kind of... it's going to be interesting because, like... Russia and Poland absolutely have some horribly bad blood between them, and for a damn good reason. The Ukrainians, as a nation, have bad blood historically with the Russians as well. But simultaneously, the world is also not what it seems, especially with what we've been fed with Western media. I mean, you got to keep in mind, the Western media is the one for the past 2 years that has said anybody who opposes COVID-19 restrictions is literally Hitler. Anybody who doesn't go along with the mostly peaceful protests that burned down entire city blocks, terrorized people in their homes, this is all well documented, right? That you were a horrible human being if you didn't go along with all that stuff. We've been gaslit in the media over and over again. We've been given poisonous vaccines. This stuff is absolute venom that they've been putting all in the people's veins. And it's getting out there now. All of the stuff, the lawsuits against Pfizer are getting ready to get going. And it's really funny that the powers that be have created this bait and switch, right? So we're not paying attention to any of that. There was no fraud in our election, even though it was widespread recognized that it was. We have absolutely no transparency. And yet, like magic. Wow. Wow. I mean, it literally, it's a smoke and mirrors show. And it's interesting to me and sad how people continue to fall for it.
It's weird watching guys that I know personally that were like, man, all this COVID stuff is bullshit. This is all dumb. And I like this Ukraine shit is happening. It's like, we need to go to war with Russia. And I'm like, that's a really dumb take. Like, that's a terrible idea. Let's not.
I knew that was going to happen, though.
Oh, I was absolutely. Like, man,
I was like, watch, everybody's going to not pay attention. And then as soon as it happens, everyone's going to be like, oh, we need to go to war. It's like, hey, guys, we just had a little something going on for like 20 years. We're all a little worn out. Why don't we take a break or something,
Yeah.
Like, fix what we got here. Going to war. Now, especially I was listening to another podcast, and they were involved with the lawsuit for at least the SEALs and I think some Navy pilots to not get the shot. And they were saying there's like some double digit percentage of active duty service members that cannot go anywhere and are like not training. They're just like hanging out because they're not allowed to PCS because they haven't got the shot and they're not allowing them to train and be around anybody.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, that's why
high percentage.
I can't go to my medic research course at all because I'm not vaccinated.
That's crazy.
I can't even go there just to do the like just my casualty assessment, which is like the final like graded test that I have to do, which takes like 15 minutes. I can't even do that.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's the most wild, crazy thing
that's
been going on.
But I mean, yeah, that's when I heard that I was like, yeah, dude, like we can't. Our military cannot do anything big, like, and even like Scout, when you were saying a while back, you were saying that our guys are just going to stay in Poland and there's going to be like a new Iron Curtain Iron Curtain. I think that's pretty spot on because I see that forming already. Like, you know, Ukraine, well, let's not pretend that Ukraine has Zelensky and Russia has Putin, but they were both at Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum and they were both young world leaders participants. So, like, we know what team they're really playing for. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, the whole thing is smoke and mirrors. I mean, they can play their game and they can do their military movements. But I think the U.S., as per usual, is, like, totally out of the loop and just, like, throwing guns and money at random people. And it's just going to wind up biting us in the ass. The whole thing's so dumb. But back to the original point, people like rah-rah and going to war. It's like, you guys have no fucking idea. Like, I'm not going over there.
Nah. It's not, you know, but to cover up some of the misgivings, because I've been saying this entire time that Ukraine, a good analogy for understanding what's been going on with Ukraine, especially probably the past 20 years, maybe even further back to the fall, the Iron Curtain, and the unraveling of the Soviet Union. Our power elite here in the United States, our political elite, military elite, intellectuals, business elite, right? That intersection there that makes up this crew at the very top, at the most elite levels of governance, which inhabit the power elites. If you go back and read C. Wright Mills, you're going to understand a lot more of this. They set up Ukraine to be, quite literally, to be Cuba in The Godfather Part 2. So if you go and you watch The Godfather Part 2 and kind of the underlying plot line, you know, you've got organized crime that is running the casinos and really just running roughshod and making bank outside of the jurisdiction of the United States government, outside of anybody that can do anything about it. And that's exactly what they did in Ukraine. And it's worse. It's worse than just making money. The stuff is coming out now. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. And you're talking about, you know, we put bioweapons labs. They say, oh, it's a biological weapon threat reduction program. Well, that sounds a little fishy to me. The videos that were made by the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, where they detailed what it said on paper and what their script was telling them. Cause you go back and watch this video and it's about 4 minutes long. It's up on AmericanPartisan.org. Those people are blinking torture in that video. Something is not right. They all have that Stepford wife look to their face. Like, there is nothing crazy going on here. And, you know, they're detailing what they're doing and how they're doing it in Georgia as well. You know, not the state Georgia, but the country Georgia, which is on another one of the Russian borders. I mean, come on. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Something is going on. We definitely would not want the Russians working on any such program down in Mexico or in Canada, right? At least not without some level of transparency. And it's my understanding, after looking over some of the documents that are getting leaked out, that are out there that I've had privy to, and you can get a look at all of those over on the forum, forum.brushfeeder.org. I've got links to all of that stuff, all of the requests. They weren't allowing any of that transparency to the Russian government. So what does that tell you? You know, I get OPSEC, I get security clearance stuff, I get all that. You know, I get things of a sensitive nature, especially concerning with, you know, what your adversary may be working on, and you don't want to necessarily tip them off or let them know you're on for them. But man, when you're doing that on their doorstep, something's not right. Okay. If it doesn't look right on its face, it's probably not. And so now when, you know, the Mockingbird media is out there talking about how, you know, Putin is crazy, he's saying there's bioweapons labs and there's no evidence of it. Yeah, actually, there's a lot of evidence of it, and what they've been working on is downright scary. What say y'all?
Mac, you can go.
That bioweapon thing is definitely frightening. With all the gain-of-function shit going on that was going on in China, I would not be... Honestly, I would not be surprised at all. It kind of doubles up with everything going on with like Burisma and all of that as to why they're so key to get us to want to, you know, we need to rally behind the Ukrainians and we need to, you know, we need to want to be over there and we need to get our guys over there and all. It plays into all of that. Like it makes absolute sense as to why everything is being so staunchly anti-Russian, other than just Putin is bad. Besides just repeating myself over and over, it's nothing but frightening, because that biowarfare stuff is it's the stuff of nightmares, like absolute fucking nightmares.
Yeah. Madman.
Yeah, I mean, like the fact that they're trying to cover it up so slyly with like the stupid videos and like, oh yeah, we're trying to prevent disease from spreading. And it's like, all right, well, why aren't most of these in Africa and Southeast Asia? Because that's where all the diseases come from. Like, right. What are we doing in Ukraine? What are we doing in all these former Soviet bloc nations? And yeah, it's just insane. It's clearly a cover up. And Scout, I got the same vibe you did when I was watching those videos. I was like, dude, these people are, I mean, I get that there's a script. I get that. But that was like beyond scripted. That was like, hey, if you don't read this, you're going to get your head blown off out back. You know, you better not. Don't fuck this up.
That was
more than just a, hey, read this and make it sound like you don't, like, be an actor, you know, like, because I've done those stupid promotional videos where it's like, I love my job, and it's like, fuck, I just want to go outside. Like, you know?
Love it here, blinking.
Yeah.
Like, sound like Ralph Wiggum. You know? I love it.
Yeah, it's
here.
Like, dude.
It's great.
Yeah,
we're not making chemical biological weapons. We're destabilizing them so that things will be good for the world. Better things on the horizon. We're doing it for the children. Which Ukraine is the child trafficking capital of the world also.
Hey, you know what's funny actually about that? Not anything funny about that itself, but in my YouTube recommended, the clip of the Simpsons episode when the Ukrainian gangster kidnaps Homer popped up. And then also... yeah,
nice.
The Simpsons, man, predicting They're good. They know their stuff.
Predictive programming. Predictive programming.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, gents, I know y'all have some classes that are coming up on the calendar. MechMedic, what you got and where can people find you?
You can find me at stuckpigmedical.com. Currently this month, I have class up with Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Super excited about that. Those class dates are, give me a second. Those are March 27th to 29th. It's going to be a Partisan Lifesaver class out that way. And so if you want to sign up for that, go ahead and email me. There is no camping on site, but you'll get more specifics when you email me. The other thing that I'm really super excited to talk about is just started up a Patreon account. Kind of after talking with Johnny Paratrooper and you yourself, Matt, kind of decided to get into this online training thing. And the Stuck Pig Medical, I don't really have a name, but like Distance Learning Academy, I don't know, fuck it, we'll figure out a name as we go, is up on Patreon. I got two tiers. I'll be trying to be doing videos somewhat regularly, and then twice a month we'll be doing live stream classes with like a Q&A portion in there. So if you're wanting to get in on that, I'm on Patreon, Stuck Pig Medical. You can search me there and decide which tier you want to get in on. I'm super, super excited for this. This is going to be a great way to get a lot of really good information to a lot of y'all that for whatever reason can't make it out to class.
Yeah, man. I'm pumped for that, man.
I'm excited. I'm real, real excited about this. I think it's a big step. Of course, you get your IFACs for sale too, right?
Yeah. No, I still have those. Still got IFACs. Still got bleeders. So I got those available. I got to make a run to the post office tomorrow to drop some off. Nice. I will not be running out of shipping materials again. That will not be happening.
Just buy enough for like the next 5 years, and, you know.
Well, that's the cool thing about USPS is that it's all free, so I can just get boxes on boxes on boxes.
Yeah.
There you go.
It is good. Madman, yeah, I know you and Johnny have got your Green Dragon Academy classes that are just going gangbuster, man. I know I sat in indirectly on one of those, the audio from one of those, and I was impressed with what I heard. I thought that it was really good. It was really well done. I know you guys have covered everything from reloading, and you just did a course on intelligence analysis. Is that right?
Yeah, we're doing so the way we run it, it's you know, we do it two weeks a month. Or yeah, 2 days a month. And we'll not pick a topic, but we'll go through, and it usually takes us a couple iterations to actually get through anything. And especially with my intelligence course, I mean, I've got, I don't know, we've had two classes on it so far, and I think I still got like 60 slides to pick from. So we're going over all kinds of good stuff, showing people how to make, a significant activity map, which I posted on AP, but you know, we talked about it a little bit more in depth, obviously. And yeah, I'm going to get into the SIGINT stuff and show everybody how a signal actually works and how it's flying through space, and hopefully not blow anybody's brain up, because I know when I start talking about it, I get confused sometimes. I'm like, wait, did I already talk about this? Like, wait, what? Yeah, so we're going to get into that good stuff. And Johnny, man, like, you guys know him. Once he gets on a topic that he's very familiar with, like, it just kind of goes.
Dude locks on like a pit bull, man. He just...
Yeah, and just like the shit that comes out of his mouth, I'm just like, dude, how do you retain all of this information and, like, actually speak it out loud? Because he's got, autism. Man, some of the stuff he goes over, I'm just like, dude... I've never even heard of this. What are you talking about? You're my drinking buddy, and you've never shown me this. Like,
weaponized autism.
That's, dude, that's why all of us get along so well. It's We're all on the spectrum.
Yeah, dude. When he goes over some of this stuff, I know it seems like it's online. Oh, it can't be that good, but I'm telling you, the online stuff, obviously in person is best at the end of the day, but the online stuff, man, if you take notes, you're going to have a lot of wisdom dropped on you. And it's just fun, because we do BS in there a little bit. It's not all just like, I'm not killing everybody with PowerPoint the whole time. So
what?
Now, I've been on the receiving end.
I've been on the receiving end of
the death by PowerPoint.
Next slide, followed by a foot stomp.
Next slide. Foot stomp moment. You what is written on the slide. Yeah, because I don't know the stuff myself. I had somebody in class one time that was like, you know, I love the class, but I really wish you would do it all on PowerPoint. And then I could just get the PowerPoints. And, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. And I'm sure my face was priceless looking at this guy. Like, no.
Yeah, dude.
First of all, buddy, I was born at night, but it won't last night. Second of all, the more important thing to point out here is that whenever I see PowerPoint, I immediately think that the person who is reading to me these slides, as if I am illiterate, they don't know jack shit about what they're talking about. Like that's exactly when I see PowerPoint. It's just like the army between the army and academia. I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. That's why you're using PowerPoint. Like, it's just a thing, man.
Yep. I hate
it so much.
I mean, I do use it, but I have like 5 little words blurbed on there just to like keep me on track. But the rest of it, yeah, I mean, just talking, that's, showing.
That's 'cause you learned to use it. You learn to use it the right way. That's how you're supposed
to. Some topics, like with the Intel stuff, it's like, man, I told the guys, I was like, look, there's going to be a couple slides in here where you guys are just going to have to read a slide. And then, like, you need the information, but it's not something that I'm going to spend time talking about or going over. Like, you literally just need to read it, remember that. All right, on to the next slide. Like, there are a few of those in there, but
yeah,
I mean,
just
learn how to cliff notes shit. Just fucking cliff notes and
we're good. Yeah. Anyway, gents, any last words for the Radio Contra audience, episode 139?
Look out for fake news. It's everywhere.
Fake news.
Steamy piles of fake news.
If you didn't trust them with your health, don't trust them with war.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm gonna steal that one.
You know what, man? I need to write that. That needs to be.
I need to write that down because I literally just came up with that. That's getting
written. That is going to be the title of this episode. Like, that's a challenge for me. To come up with episode titles. Yeah, man.
That was a tasty nugget right there.
I occasionally get lucky and the Asperger's kind of aligns and I get some gold coming out of here. And then sometimes it's stuff that has to get censored out of episodes.
Nah, yeah, never.
It happens.
Never. I don't do that, man. I don't do that. There was that one time. That was just distasteful and demeaning. My very sensitive ears were just harmed beyond belief having heard that. Having heard what you said, It may taste like pennies, but you also know what penicillin tastes like. And with that said, tomorrow night, Sons of Liberty, if you like this brand banner going back and forth, there's going to be a heck of a lot more on tap, and we'll actually be drinking for all of that as well. So it's going to be that much more breaking down the news and events of the day, discussing relevant topics, all things preparedness and current events related. Joined by my two very good friends here, MechMedic and Madman Actual, for myself, NC Scout on part of AmericanPartisan.org. It has been an honor to have you along. God bless everybody, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. Good night.